The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Welcome to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle, and I'm here to help you be the gospel-centered, compassionate, and influential voice in your girl's life. My guest today is Ben Bennett. For years, Ben experienced deep anger, a porn addiction, and mental health issues like anxiety and depression before finding hope and healing through biblical, neuroscientific, and psychological solutions. He currently serves with Josh McDowell Ministry, a crew ministry, as an author, speaker, and the director of the Resolution Movement, a new national initiative helping youth overcome hurts, unwanted behaviors, and live a thriving life. Welcome, Ben, and thank you so much for sitting with us today and having this necessary and important conversation.
Hey, Robrina, so good to be with you. I love what you're doing, love the topics you're addressing. And this is what, month four that you launched the podcast, and it's already reaching so many people, helping so many people. It's awesome. I think the easiest place to start is with my journey and my story. And there was a lot of trauma in there too that my bio didn't mention. But, you know, growing up, I was surrounded by Christianity. I went to church every week with my parents, and early on understood what Jesus taught, that God loved me. He wanted a relationship with me, but I had done wrong things and I could never be perfect to have a relationship with a perfect God. But through Jesus's life, his death, his resurrection for me, I could receive this free forgiveness. So it was awesome. By the age of four, I had this vivid, personal, good relationship with God, which actually became like a saving grace, literally to me, like talking to God. It felt like God was the only person there, because often my dad was gone. He was traveling. When he was home, he was so angry. Mm. He was emotionally distant. I felt like I couldn't meet his expectations. My mom was constantly anxious and worrying. And I just felt like I didn't fit in the family. And then oftentimes with my friends, I was bullied for my faith, for the clothes I wore, the music I listened to. Mm. So I just honestly felt like I couldn't fit in anywhere. I longed to be accepted, to be known, to be loved just for who I was. Mm. And I felt that sometimes in my relationship with God, but I also didn't know a ton about God's character and how to, you know, study the Bible and whatnot. So all that to say, that was the reality. I was deeply hurting and alone, experiencing what I'm seeing so many Gen Zers are experiencing and in the work I do with Gen Z. And so by the age of eight, I was dealing with anxiety, depression, obsessive compulsive disorder. I had these traumatic experiences in public situations. I started to have out of body experiences. It was just, it was a horrific, every day was a battle, and I was so alone. I wasn't talking to anybody about it. By the age of 12, I got introduced to pornography by some friends, pornography, masturbation. And I still remember the first time I saw pornography. Growing up in the church, somehow I knew that it was wrong, and I knew about God's design for sex and marriage, but I was still curious and wanted to fit in. And I think that's one of the things we have to understand about pornography. The major ways that people, that Gen Zers, that are kids these days, are coming across this is they're either introduced by a friend. It's unsolicited. Mm-hmm. They're curious, and maybe we're not talking about sex. So they get on Google, and then they come across something that's horrific and not at all beautiful or life-giving. Those are two of the key ways. Most people don't say, "Oh, I really want to look at this horrific stuff and get addicted to it, so I'm gonna," with their first view. It's accidental exposure. Oh, and then the third thing, the porn industry is riddled with sex trafficking, with abuse, with manipulation, with racism, with sexism, and they're trying to create lifelong consumers. So they're going after our kids. It's one of the most sadistic plots of the enemy of evil today. And through whether that's through apps, through pop-ups, through creating websites, through bots on social media. So what we've really got to de-shame this topic of how people get exposed to pornography and realize that most this is a kind of sexual abuse. The industry, the enemy, the industry, friends are introducing people to pornography, and our minds aren't created to handle pornography, especially as a kid. Because for years I was ashamed that I was exposed to it. I was blaming myself. I was blaming my sin nature. But then I started to realize all this stuff and was like, wow, to some extent, I'm a victim of sexual abuse and exploitation. And this is what the enemy wants. So I got exposed to pornography. And the first time I saw it, I will never forget the high that it brought me. And that's one thing we have to understand about pornography. It releases a super flow of dopamine in your brain. And they've done research on it. A higher release of dopamine, which is the good feeling chemicals in your brain, it releases more dopamine than having sex with a human being. Pornography does, just looking at the screen. So you imagine what that does to a young brain and how addictive it is. Many people are saying this is like the new cocaine. It's a new drug. And I got exposed to that. I hated what I saw. I was repulsed, but I was equally curious. So it was only a matter of time before I went down that path, went back again, eventually got addicted. And that lasted for 12 years of my life of battling addiction, of hating myself, of escaping through pornography, of making promises to stop. But I thought it was all just due to my behavior, my sin nature. I thought if I could love Jesus more, I thought if I could pray more, if I could memorize all these verses about why lust is wrong, that I'd be able to get out. But it didn't work. And eventually I was able to get out by an intense process after college. I did 4 years of porn addiction recovery and meeting with a sex therapist and now I've been free for almost 7 years from pornography, and I'm not married. I'm a single guy, and now I get to help other people. And not, let me just say, not everybody's journey is gonna need that intense level of therapy and recovery, but for me, because of the trauma, because of the mental health issues, because of the depth of what was leading to the addiction of pornography, being in that amount of recovery and healing allowed me to find healing from trauma, from mental health issues, from porn addiction. And so many people will, there's so many other shorter solutions than that. So just to give hope to those listening. Being in that amount of recovery and healing allowed me to find healing from trauma, from mental health issues, from porn addiction.
Well, one thing I have to say, I am proud for you. And when I say proud, I mean that the fact that you did the work, like you wanted that freedom and you were willing to do the work, even if it was outside of what we usually hear, which is just don't look at it, just don't think about it. Like you said, just pray, just have these verses. But sometimes it takes work in order to get relieved of that. And because you said how it affected your brain. I want to talk about that a little bit, because I don't think people realize what happens to the brain when someone sees porn.
There's all kinds of great research out there. One of the simplest things that people can do is just type in your brain on porn. And there's so many brain scans and so much research, but I'll share a couple nuggets. One is that compulsive porn use leads to something called frontal lobe atrophy. So the frontal lobe is the higher reasoning, judgment, thinking portion of the brain. And for most research is showing that, you know, research used to think that the brain wasn't fully developed till 25. Now they're showing that sometimes it's later, 28, 29, specifically the frontal lobe part of your brain. So frontal lobe atrophy, what happens is there's decreased oxygen flowing to that part of the brain. So that part of the brain, the higher reasoning, starts to get bypassed. Less oxygen, it starts to wither away and not be used as much. Mm-hmm. So porn, literally, if you look at porn, you start to give up your brain.
Mm.
That's one thing. And there is hope, and it can be undone. It takes a lot of work, but that's one thing that people need to know, and that many Gen Zers don't know. You know, every Monday I volunteer with a Bible study that I help lead at times with Gen Zers, and the topic of porn came up, and none of them knew any of this stuff. They thought porn was normal. They didn't know it does this to the brain.
Mm.
I'm like, even if you don't agree with the morals of porn being wrong, at least know what it's doing to your brain. It's not helping you live a successful life of healthy relationships and whatnot. So that's one thing. Another thing is that the neurons that fire together wire together in our brain. So we've got billions of neurons or nerve cells. And with pornography, it's a process addiction. Just like gambling, just like food. So many Americans, or almost half Americans, I think, are addicted to food, sex. The process of it releases this massive high. The drugs are in our brains.
Mm.
Like I said earlier, a good feeling that's greater than even having sex with a human being. So what that does is there's something called the pleasure pathway, I think is the term. But the more and more we go down that same pathway, it leaves behind a protein called delta FOSB, which is kind of like a tattoo for your brain. It marks down your brain saying, hey, this feels good. Let's remember the next time we're stressed, we're lonely, we're hurting, to do this. And it's almost like a subconscious thing to look for it. And then with all those billions of nerve cells, the more and more, every time you make a decision, you look at pornography, the neurons that fire together wire together. Mm-hmm. So it starts to create this super highway of decision making, or almost pre-decision making, in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that's significant, pornography has endless amounts of novelty, of scenarios, of situations, of things that people are acting out, of body types, of titles, of ages. It's insane. Mm-hmm. And they do that on purpose, because the porn industry knows that, just like any drug, at some point, the first high, the little thing, maybe it wasn't even watching people have sex, but it was, you know, back in the day, it was just nude images.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, that doesn't give you the same high. So there's endless novelty. And what that does is it skews people's sexual templates. So mm-hmm. what they find arousing. So at some point, pictures doesn't work anymore. You need videos, and not just videos, you need hardcore videos.
Mm-hmm.
And not just that, you need, this is where people can start going from, if they used to identify as straight, they can go into same sex pornography or group sex or things like that, or get into, you know, children. And I'm not saying that pornography turns somebody gay or anything like that. Hear me clearly. But what I am saying is that it can skew people's sexual template to the point where what they used to be attracted to is no longer what they're attracted to, because they needed the next high and the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the big things I've learned from one of my mentors for 8 years. He's one of the leading sex addiction therapists in the Christian community. His name is Dr. Ted Roberts. He leads a ministry called Pure Desire. And I've learned so much from him, and he's had so much training and so much work for 30 years with sex addiction, with porn addiction. He's seen it all. But there's this whole area of study called the arousal template, which is everything you find sexually arousing: sight, sounds, smells, body types. And what we've got to understand is that our sexual experiences, whether they're good, whether they're bad, and our traumatic experiences or our painful experience, all of those things can contribute to somebody's present day sexual template and what they find attractive or not attractive. Mm-hmm. And because our brains are moldable, they're changeable, the neurons that fire together wire together, somebody can go down this path. We have pornography and then end up getting addicted to the stuff that they never thought they would have. Mm. And they can hate themselves for it. But that's just how the brain can change. As evil and whatnot as it is, when we see people get into this illegal behavior, that can help us understand with compassion how somebody can get there, and the fact that they need help much earlier on. So may we be those people that offer help to young people as maybe this addiction starts out earlier.
What would I do as a parent if I suspect that my child is looking at porn, or if my child confesses to me that they think they have an addiction?
One of the big things is to offer curiosity rather than questioning. Curiosity looks like, rather than, it looks like genuinely caring and asking questions rather than being an investigator. Rather than saying,
I'm the youngest.
Because
school me, I need to know.
Yeah. Because what happens if you feel in any relationship, if you feel like you're being investigated, you automatically go on the defense. Mm. But if you feel somebody's compassion and care and their curiosity, that's non-judgmental, that's non-condemning, that, you're more likely to open up. And that's, you know, the key to somebody starting to find freedom from pornography is having a safe person. Mm-hmm. And people aren't going to feel safe if they're feeling questioned, but if there's curiosity, they will feel a lot more safe. Second is, we got to normalize this, and we've got to understand that pornography is not a male issue. It's not a female issue. It's an everybody issue. Mm-hmm. So many teenage girls are struggling with it, porn and masturbation.
Yes.
So many teenage boys, so many moms are struggling with it. So many dads, yes. So many pastors. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the majority of young people are struggling with porn. Porn has become the new sex ed for this generation. Mm-hmm. And so that's even more motivation for us to be talking about it.
Another thing I wanted to ask about, how do we create those new neural pathways in the brain to break that superhighway that's been cemented together?
Something that's interesting is over 580 times, but the Old and New Testament mentions in just one version, one translation, the words mind, think, believe. And throughout all of those, there's this huge implication of what we're supposed to do with our minds. Mm-hmm. We're told to think about things that are true, noble, right, and pure. We're told to be transformed by the renewing of our minds in Romans 12:2. And there's a purpose to this. God knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. He knows that thinking about the truth is healthier for our lives and decreases our stress and whatnot than thinking about lies or worry or things like that. And specifically, Romans 12:2, for thousands of years has said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. All throughout the New Testament, we see this implication or these commands to put on, to take our thoughts captive, to do these certain things. And if our brains couldn't change, well, then that would be nonsense. Because what's the point in trying to change the way you think, trying to change your behavior if you actually can't change? We know that's not true. We know the Bible is true and inerrant, and we have the Holy Spirit. But in recent decades, brain science discovered something called neuroplasticity. Neuro meaning brain, plasticity meaning plastic. Put simply, our brains are moldable. They're kind of like plastic. They can change. And that happens through new patterns of thought, new patterns of behavior, new patterns of action. So there's so many different things we can do as we take a step of faith to find freedom from pornography that really help us. One of the biggest things is understanding the why. People's porn use, we've got to get, is not random. People's struggles aren't random. We like to say, as part of the resolution movement, that unmet longings or unmet needs lead to unwanted behaviors or to unwanted sexual behavior. So there's something people are longing for in pornography. There's something in my story I was longing for in pornography. It was pseudo love, pseudo attention. It was temporary acceptance rather than rejection. It was, after feeling so anxious and unsafe and my brain being on alert, I could feel safe for a moment in time and get some pseudo nurture. And this is a huge thing for moms, for dads. You have the opportunity to meet these longings in a teen, in a kid, to be a safe place, to accept them, to love them, to support them, to take interest in their world. So if we can help people start to understand, what is the setup? What's the unmet longing? Because there's consistent ones that trigger somebody that they end up going to pornography too. The second one is we do need to take some significant actions to cut the exposure or cut the access. I think about how Jesus says, if your eye causes you to stumble, to cut it out. So there are great things like Covenant Eyes, which tracks and reports software on people's computer. Don't put that on secretly on your teen's computer, but say you want to have buy-in in any decision that's made with a teen, because you want them to own the healing journey. You present it as an option and see if they are excited about it and want to do that. And it can either block stuff on phones, or it can report things. And even consider doing it with them, sharing as a parent, hey, I need to be mindful of what I'm looking at. Maybe it's not pornography, but maybe it's these articles that gossip, or maybe it's this news that's not good. Maybe it's doom scrolling on social media and seeing all the arguments. And hey, while you're getting help for pornography, I really need to be a better steward of my mind and what I'm taking in, because what I take in is going to come out some way. So let's do this together. I would say that's number two. And then number three, there's so many great resources that I encourage people to go through, either a parent with a teen, or have two teens and a youth leader, or two teens and a mentor, or just two teens together. So many great resources that people are going to go through to understand God's design for sex and the truer and better story, and then why pornography can be so addictive and what it does to the brain and whatnot. One of the best resources I know for teens, both men and women, is called The Freedom Fight. And I believe the website is thefreedomfight.org. And it's all these videos. They talk about brain science, the Bible. They're very informed on everything that I've talked about today. So many great questions. It helps people grow in emotional awareness and what sets them up. It talks about the truer and better story of God's design for sex. And it's just phenomenal and helpful. And actually, taking those steps of faith, it rewires and renews our brain. As we take one step after another, it eventually becomes a habit and a new way of thinking.
Well, this has been a very, it was a great conversation. It was very informative, and I pray that it's going to be helpful for parents to, if they haven't started the conversation, to at least start the conversation. And also for parents who have struggled in their life, this is for you too. And because we all have a story, and sometimes our story comes up while we're raising our children. And so this is for you too. And this is not something for us to stay in condemnation about, because Jesus is about freedom and he wants us free.
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me, Robrina. You know, to those listening, if you want to hear more about, I forgot to mention this, but if you want to hear more about my story and have resources on mental health and whatnot, resolutionmovement.org. We've got so many free things for parents, for teens, all kinds of topics. We've got email courses, a video series, and then I've got a book coming out in August. You can pre-order it now on Amazon. It's called Free to Thrive. And it really is combining so much of what I've learned the past 10 years, helping people make sense of their hurt and identifying the hurt and making sense of their story and how those unmet longings are leading to unwanted behaviors here and now. Great for parents, great for all ages.
Okay, well, remember, Mom, I like to present these types of topics to prepare you, not to scare you. And remember that God is for you and you're not alone. With his spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
If you're tired of parenting advice and news headlines that are more confusing than assembling IKEA furniture, we've got just the podcast for you. My dear friend Abby and I are here to help you navigate the parenting roller coaster.
Should your kids be on social media? What should you tell a friend facing an unplanned pregnancy? These are just some of the many questions we tackle on our podcast.
Subscribe to The Real Deal of Parenting wherever you find your podcast.